God, this is March the 20th, 2011, Sunday morning, and we're going to be turning to St. John chapter 15. Let's start with verse 1. Jesus is speaking. He said to the disciples, he said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me." Verse 5 says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Now that's twice he said that. I'm the vine, you are the branches. "He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." That's not a maybe statement there. He made a real plain statement, didn't he? He said, if you abide in me, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same, the one that's abiding, right? He brings forth much fruit. I mean, it's not even a, well, you sure about that? You might bring forth some fruit. You might bear a little fruit. No, he said you'll bring forth much fruit. Much fruit. See, I think this goes right along with the last couple of messages about availeth much prayer. Availeth much. The fervent, earnest, the effectual, fervent, earnest prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, when your prayers are availing much, that means you're getting answers. Right? So Jesus made this statement, and I think it just jumps out at this morning, that he said, if you are a branch, I'm the vine. He's establishing something. I'm the vine. You're the branch. If you abide in me, the vine, you can bear much fruit. I said, Lord, I want to bear much fruit. I don't want to be a scrawny little shriveled up branch on the vine that's got maybe maybe no fruit and maybe just a little withered up looking fruit. Or you ever go grape picking? I'll tell you what, there ain't nothing more disgusting than going to grape picking in the dry season. When there's a dry season, there might be some grapes, but they're little bitty, scrawny looking things. You know it? The grapes just do not do good in dry season. You get a good wet season, the grapes are plush and lush and full and juicy. And those are the kind you want to take home and eat, make jelly and jams and things with. And that's what he's given the analogy of, because this was a major staple of the times. They drank the wine, they ate the fruit. It was a part of their life. So he's explaining to them, I'm the vine. The vines have deep roots. I was driving across New York State, out of Pennsylvania, up along the Lake Erie sections up there about 2 weeks ago. And I noticed to the right of me, acres and acres, and I'm talking probably 1,000, maybe 2,000 acres of vineyard on the right of the road. And I looked over there, and I said, man, look at all those, just look at all those grapevines. And it's freezing up there. I mean, acres and acres and acres and acres. And there's these big old husky looking vines out there. Not a leaf, not a piece of fruit, but there's all these vines hanging, thinking, you know, that winter doesn't touch those vines. As harsh the winters are around Lake Erie, the vines will come back and produce fruit when the conditions are right. Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. Now, this is the thing that I want to share about the true vine. The true vine means he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He is true. You can trust Jesus to tell you the truth. You can trust the word to be the truth. You can trust God to be God and God to be true. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. God is true. You got to establish that forever. God is true. Jesus is true, and you can count on him. What he says to you, that's just the way it is. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. So when he says, I'm the true vine, He really is the one you want to get into. I think sometimes we want to be our own vine. I think sometimes we think we got to be our own vine and we got to bear our own fruit. Thank God I don't have to be the vine. I'm just the branch that bears the fruit. He's the vine. He's the one who's connected to the power. He's the way. He's the truth. I don't have to be the way. I don't have to be the truth. And I don't have to be the life. I don't have to do anything but just believe the Word of God and allow the Word of God to flow through me. You see, I think we try to be all religious and we try to do work up something and be something. We're not. We don't have to be anything but what He says we are. And you know, the greatest thing you'll ever do is believe the Word. Now you are clean through the Word that I have spoken unto you. See, it's a personal word that He's spoken unto you that's making you clean. It's not the word that He spoke to you, Darlene, that makes me clean. It's not the word that spoke to you that makes me clean. It's not the word that God spoke to Nancy that takes the care of my life. It's the word God spoke to me that cleans me up. It's the word that He cleans me up with. It's the only word I got to be concerned about. I can't be concerned what He's telling you. I can't be concerned about what He's telling you to do. I can't be concerned about what He's telling everybody. But I better be concerned about what He's telling me to do. Because it's the word that He speaks to me that I better have an ear to hear. And then He says, without me, He goes on and says, you can do nothing. If you're not abiding in that word that He's spoken unto you, you can do nothing. Your life will be empty. Your motives will be wrong. Your ideas will be wrong. Everything will be out of whack. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. Did He not say that? Mm-hmm. And then He tells us here, I'm the true vine. You think anything's going to come along and tear up that vine? No. He's the truth. The devil is just all tore up. Let me tell you, the devil is all tore up because he wants to destroy the truth, and he can't. He'd like to destroy the truth in your life, and he can't. He'd like to tear out what truth you have received from the Word of God, that he can't. He can only steal from you and I what we let him take. He cannot pluck you out of God's hand. I heard a minister say something. I was listening or reading a book this week, and he said, serving God is similar to this, and I'm going to give you the picture he painted. He said, just picture there's two big buildings. Two big giant buildings where there's windows in all these buildings, and it's a narrow road. And Jesus is standing on the end of that road. And you've got to walk a few miles to get to Jesus. But Jesus is at the end of that road, and you know He's at the end of the road, and you've got your eyes on Jesus. And every step you take, there's all these demons and demon spirits hanging out of these windows. And their objective, they can't get down here and stop you. They can't tie you up and hold you down. But they can do everything they can verbally to you to stop you from keeping your eyes on Jesus and listening to the Word of God. So every step you take, they're taunting you. They're telling you, you're not any good. You'll never make it. You're not any good. You can't do that. You can't serve God. Whatever they try to inject into you, it's all about keeping your eyes off of Jesus and getting your eyes off of the promise, the goal. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'll guarantee you, if Jesus had taken His eyes off of the goal, off of the prize, off of the glory, He would have never went to the cross. He looked beyond the cross and He saw the glory beyond the cross. See, we've got to see heaven for heaven. We got to see the glory for right now. See, heaven belongs to us right now. So I'm looking at Jesus, and all through my life I thought, man, this is so good, because I've seen this so many times in my life. I'd be just walking along with Jesus, all excited about getting to Jesus. I'm getting to Jesus. I'm going to head to Jesus. And next thing you know, I hear a voice coming to me, so strong and so loud. And then it says it in first person, like it's me saying it to me. It sounds like it's me talking to me, but it's not me talking to me. It's the devil talking to me and telling me, you'll never make it. You can't serve God. God isn't true. God isn't real. I mean, whatever circumstance is going on in your life, the devil's objective is to inject a lie but make it look like the truth. You see, you got to get your eyes on the truth. There's the truth. Jesus is the truth. He's the true vine. He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. This is the way. walk there in it. He's given you the way. He's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Walk in that way. And the enemy, all he can do is torment you and taunt you and lie to you and plant all the awfulest things in your mind. But you got to learn to ignore him. You've got to learn who to exalt as God. Now, who's your God? Who's your God? Let me tell you, it makes it easy when you know who your God is. When you know who God is, it makes it easy to turn off and turn a deaf ear to the devil. It makes it easy to ignore the devil. Because he pretends to be something he isn't. So let me go back to this verse again. Let's read it again. The Lord is speaking to us. Let's go back to verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. Now, how do you abide? How do I abide in you, Jesus? How do you abide in me? Let me tell you how I abide in him. He abides in me, and I abide in him. I'm abiding in him, and he's abiding in me. Am I trying to abide? No. Abiding is abiding. What address do you have in your house? Is that your house? Well, now, are you just trying to abide there, or do you really abide there? My address is 208 Dudley Street, apartment 3A. That's where I abide. Where does Jesus abide? He abides right here. This is his address right here. See, this is Jesus' address right here. Jesus, where do you abide? I abide in Teresa Howerton's heart. That's where I abide. How do you know you abide there? Because I know I abide there. Do you know you abide where you abide?
Yes.
See, he ain't got no question where he's abiding. He knows exactly who's letting him abide where he's abiding. You know where you're abiding, don't you? Because that's where you'll go. That's where you'll go when you go home. That's, you got a key to that door, don't you? You send all your mail to that address, don't you? You don't have to wonder or worry that you're not going to abide there tomorrow. That's where you abide. See, abiding is such a part of you that you don't have to wonder, well, I wonder if I'm abiding. If you're wondering if you're abiding in the Jesus, then you're not really abiding in Jesus. Let me tell you, that's a fact. And it's the measure of his word that you're abiding in is the measure that he's abiding in you. You'll understand, you'll see that. So I'm abiding in him. Can I always say, have I always been able to say, I abide in him? No. Because, you know, when you first get saved, you're not real sure, well, you know, I think that I live there. Well, you think you live in Jesus? Because the enemy is right there in those, remember, those walls and those windows. You don't really love God. God doesn't really love you. God doesn't like you. Look what you did. Look what happened here. I mean, he's constantly taunting you, making you doubt where you're abiding. It's a baby Christian life for a while. It's a struggle. That's why the church is so important. That's why a pastor is so important. That's why the body of Christ as a whole is so important, so we can protect each other. And give us an assurance, God, I'm really abiding in you. Well, yeah. You know how we know we're abiding in him? Because it's the word. It's the word in you, the Holy Spirit in you that assures you. It's the witness where the love of God is spread abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost witnesses the word. The word and the Spirit are one. See, you've got the word in you. It's the measure of his word. I cannot get away from this right here where he said, for without me, you can do nothing. Can you imagine living your entire life and absolutely coming to the end of your life and you have nothing to show for it? Nothing to present to God, nothing to present to other people, nothing to give anybody in your family. Can you imagine just living all about you, it all being all about you? You know, that's a worthless life, really. If life is just about you, that's all it's going to end up being about. Just about you. People say they ain't no good. People say they're not any good. That's really pride talking. I said that to say this. If when people are so unsure of themselves and they don't feel like they're... What did Jesus say? He said, don't try to cast out the beam in somebody's eye or cast out the mote in somebody's eye when you got a beam in your own eye, right? Do you know why we can see the beam in other people's, the mote in other people's eyes? Because we got the beam in our own. We got a piece of that mote in our own eye. We got the whole mote in our eye. I mean, the whole beam. A splinter off the beam, we can recognize it because we got the whole plank in our own lives. We can always find the fault in other people if we've got the fault in ourselves. It's so easy to see the wrong in other people because we got the wrong in us. Jesus said, take out the mote or the beam out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to help the other person. You cannot remove the splinter out of somebody else's eye when you got the whole plank in your own eye. Can't do it. We can just be so sure about something. I don't know why I'm going off on this area, but this is what I hear in my spirit. I hear that we've got to stop looking at everybody else and look at this word. He's the word. He's the truth. He's the vine. Without him, going on down to this next verse, I am the vine. Verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same. The one who's abiding in him, the one that he's abiding in, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Lord, let that be me. Well, how do I know that's not me? If you don't know that's you, you're not abiding. If you're not the one bearing much fruit, you're not abiding in the vine. So got some pruning to do, got some changing to do, so you can know who you are in Christ. So you can really be established in him. See, of us are there. I'm still pressing toward the mark. I'm still walking closer, and every day I inch a little closer. And every day, don't think the enemy doesn't talk to me and tell me, you're failing here, you're failing there, and look at this. He tries to get your eyes off on all the wrong, all the bad. And if he can't get you looking at yourself, he gets you looking at other people. You got to fix all these other people. And then it'll all be okay. No. Jesus said, you know what Jesus did when he was on this earth? All he did was speak the truth. He was the way, he was the truth, he was the life. He wants us to be just like him. If you look at the New Testament, I shared this Wednesday night. You see this? I think Jerry was here and Darlene was here. You look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's just take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want to separate these particular scriptures, and I want to show you something. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Here they are, right here. I hold them sacred. I hold these scriptures dear. These are precious to me. You know why they're precious? Because they're over 2,000 years old. Everything that's written here is over 2,000 years old. It's old. I mean, there's older books than this. But it exists. Because you know what? This book is so different. Because this is a record of eyewitness account, handwritten by men who were eyewitness accounts. Eyewitness, you know, an eyewitness is a pretty good, strong statement. These are eyewitnesses who wrote down on paper 2,000 years ago the work and the life and the words of our Savior, the Son of God. But something, you have to know this. You have to understand that Jesus, when he was in his earth walk, just remember this, in his earth walk here, he was walking under the old covenant, the Mosaic law, and the old Abrahamic covenant. That was all there was for the Jews when he came, born of a Jew. He was a Jew. Circumcised the eighth day. He did every ritual, every law. He kept the entire Mosaic law. And it was an eyewitness account of the 3.5 year ministry under a Mosaic law and covenant, old covenant of Abraham. He walked it, lived it. The blessing of Abraham was on him. The blessing of Abraham was on the life of Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, a man lived to the letter the law. Thank God he did. To the letter, he exhibited the word of God that they were instructed to live under. 2,000 years ago, the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. Now, when you go back now, let's go. And when you read this, I want you to know that. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this is eyewitness account of a man living under the old covenant. And what did they do with that man? The only man that ever lived that literally fulfilled the law in every area of his life. What did they do with that man? You would have thought the high priest would have exalted him and praised him and said, look at this man, an example, an epitome of everything God told us to be like and do. And what they do? They put him on a cross. They hated him. They were jealous of him. So evil, envious, and jealous. They had to have seen what he did. He died on that cross. But because he had no sin at all, God raised him up from the dead. We know that that is an established fact in our hearts because we're Christians. Do you know no one was called a Christian for many years after his death, burial, resurrection? You think just all of a sudden everybody started becoming a Christian? Boom, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. No, Christians were first called Christians in Antioch. But then we look at the epistles. The epistles are letters. I'm going to turn this off. The epistles are letters. The epistles are now letters that were written by the apostles. James, Peter, Paul, the special apostles to the Lamb after his death, burial, and resurrection. And what happened after his death, burial, and resurrection? What happened to this perfect Jesus who walked and lived out the Mosaic law under the old covenant? He was seated above everything and exalted above everything that exists in all eternity. Okay, now we know that as believers, but do we know that? You see, he gave us access to heaven in a way that mankind had never had access to heaven, ever. Until you get a revelation of the access we have now, you'll read the New Testament in a different way. Because I begin to see this, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. He said, you know what? If you can live the epistles, those are written to the church. That's written to me in the church age, the new covenant. See, well, I'm under a new covenant. The man that lived under the old covenant could not have God's word written in their mind. Put in their mind and in their heart. Couldn't happen. Couldn't happen. Because there was no high priest and there was no mercy seat in the heavenlies. There was no altar for mankind, no representative in heaven for us yet. Jesus became our representative before the throne of God. He literally became my intercessor, my advocate, my lawyer before God Almighty. And I have a new covenant. I have a covenant now through Jesus. I didn't have to cut it. Jesus cut the covenant. All the human race now, the whole human race has access to a covenant. Not just the Jews. For years, the Jews thought that was just their covenant. No, it's the human race's covenant. Jesus cut a covenant for all mankind. And now when he's saying these words, and he's saying these words, he's speaking prophetically. Prophetically. The words that he speaks, he spoke to them, cleaned them up. But it's the word he speaks to you through his spirit. It's no different. Now, if you go to Hebrews. Go with me to Hebrews. Remember, it's without him, you can do nothing. I can do nothing without him. Hebrews. Chapter 8. I want to start with verse 1. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. See, Jesus honored man's tabernacle while he was on this earth. He honored the Mosaic law, the high priest, when they spit on him, when they smote him, when they did all the things they did to him. He honored what God had established at that time. But now we have a throne of majesty in the heavens. Jesus said, if you abide in me, I'm the vine. If you abide in me and I abide in you. And how could he have abided in us? He could not have abided in those disciples because he hadn't died yet. The Spirit hadn't come through Pentecost yet. He hadn't sent the Spirit. He told him, it's expedient I go away. If I don't go away, I can't send the Comforter. But when I go away, I will send him back to you and he will be in you. The world won't know him, but you'll know him because he'll be in you. Then he's telling them, if you'll abide in me. And in fact, the next few verses in chapter 15 in St. John, he said, and that day you'll ask me nothing, but anything you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you. He's telling them of a day that's coming and what's getting ready to happen in the new covenant. They never heard of anything like this before. He was preparing them for the day that he would be this throne of majesty on high in heaven. Let's read this again. Verse 1 of chapter 8. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest, Jesus, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Remember, he is the true vine. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, whereof it is necessary that this man have somewhat also to offer. See, he did offer. He offered himself. For once and for all, he's offered himself. And his blood will always be there for you know what? I'm so glad we have a Savior. That I have a minister of the true sanctuary, a high priest that's seated at the right hand of God, at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. And in Hebrews it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we can receive grace, mercy, and help in time of need. You know, when we start picking on other people, and we start judging other people, and we start thinking bad about other people, we really are treading on dangerous ground, as far as I'm concerned. Because they have the same access to the same throne that I have. They can fall on their knees at any time and ask God to forgive them. Judge nothing before the time, Paul said. Paul said, I don't judge anything. I don't even judge myself. There's coming a day when God will bring to light all the things that are hidden in our hearts. And the thing about I want you to see in verse 2 is that a minister, what does a minister do? Do you think Jesus is up there just twiddling his thumbs? Just maybe rocking his feet around on that throne? Well, maybe one of these days they'll come and talk to me. Let me tell you something. He is a minister. He has an office. He's busy. He has plans. He has a job. And I'll tell you what, he's got many names. Just read that plaque over there. That's all the names that exemplifies him. Counselor, Wonderful, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, on and on and on. He's a minister. Jesus is about his Father's business. He was about his Father's business at 12. He's about his Father's business right now in your life and my life. Amen. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake. You want to know what it is to abide in him? Why you can bear much fruit? You want to know why you and I can bear much fruit? How is it possible I can bear much, mucho grande fruit? I love that. How can I bear much fruit, God? See, I think much fruit doesn't just mean money. Much fruit, let me tell you something. When you just see money when you think about fruit, you're seeing a very narrow picture. Much fruit in health, much fruit in soundness of mind, much fruit is peace. I have much peace. I have much joy. I have much health. I have much holiness. I have much comfort. I have much of whatever it is I need. I have much of it. You can have much of anything you want in this life that God says is in heaven. You know, heaven's accessible now to me. I can go into the heavenlies and talk and be bold about it. That's pretty awesome to think about. Much fruit is not just stuff. Much fruit means much love, much compassion, much. I'm talking overwhelming amount of kindness, love, joy, peace. You know, in Philippians, he says, think on these things and the God of peace will be with you. Why? Because that's all heaven's about. We have a sanctuary to run to. At the true tabernacle, the true sanctuary, there's a place I go. And I can have much fruit. It's promised me. And before I move from here, I'm going to move from here because I'm going to take you to another scripture he brought to me this morning. It's in 2 Peter. 1 Peter, 2 Peter, it's an awesome message, awesome word. Apostle Peter. Now remember, Peter had a hard time transitioning from being under the old covenant and the Mosaic law to being under the new covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As Lord and Savior. He had a hard time transitioning from being under that old covenant and learning how to live as a born-again believer under the new covenant, which is what we have now. He had a hard time with it. But he finally got there, I believe, because he wrote this. Good word this morning. Good teaching. First, let's go to 1 Peter first. I said 2 Peter. Starting with verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, though it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Now, I used to read that verse, and I used to think, man, all this Christian life is about is suffering. All it's about is having a hard time. So someday I'll get to go to heaven. But buddy, it's going to be a tough walk. If you've been a Christian very long, you know what I'm talking about. You get to where you feel weary and well-doing, and you seem like you're always going through something, and the battle gets hot, and you just feel like giving up. And I don't know if you've ever been through hot trials. I've been through some really hot trials in my life. I've been through some really hard things. I mean, it's really tough when you walk in your house and every window's been busted out. You know, I mean, and they're trying to take your kids away from you. I mean, I could just go on and on the things that I've been through, some fiery trials. But this is the key. This is the key about understanding the new covenant and the access we have. Is this verse right here. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. See, the end of my faith was established the moment I accepted Jesus. The end of my walk with God. See, I'm not in heaven yet. But see, that's the way God sees me. That's the way I see me, in heavenly places. I've been made to sit in heavenly places. Heaven is accessible to me, and he is the vine. I'm the branch. If you abide in me. Now, think of it this way. The level of the word that's abiding in you is the word that you're living and walking in and believing. Because what you believe, you'll say, and what you believe, you'll do. Just like it says in Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll find good success. Do you just find good success when you're going through it, when you're not going through a trial? No, your good success is established. You're going to bear much fruit no matter what goes on in this life. This life does not shake the throne of God. The situations the enemy brings to us, the attacks and the assaults of the evil one, the evil genius of this world, does not affect your future. Your future is established in the kingdom. See, your life is hidden in Christ. You're abiding in the vine. He's in you and you're in him. And so when you look at the receiving the end of your faith, receiving the end, the salvation of your souls. Now, what is your soul? Receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, your soul. Amen. You want to receive, you better receive that now. You received that when you accepted Jesus. Do you think you just got part of Jesus when you got born again? No, you got the whole package. Lock, stock, and barrel. When you accepted Jesus as your Savior, see, when he washed away my sins, that's why I can dance, because I know that I was written in the Lamb's Book of Life the day that I got born again. I knew heaven came into me. I knew that all that God had and all that God was in me that very twinkling of an eye moment I was born again. But my brain has a lot of mess in there. Me, the real me's born again. I'm saved. If I died right then that day after I got born again, I'd been in heaven. I wouldn't have had any fruit to present. But see, God wants me to bear much fruit. Until we get past looking at the devil and looking at the mess and looking at the problems of this life, if we don't see Jesus bigger than the problem, we're never going to bear much fruit. That's why Jesus was so powerfully strong in his words. You're now clean through the words that I've spoken to you. And he said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit. Because without me, you will do nothing. You will do nothing. You know, you can be a Christian your whole life and do nothing for the kingdom. You can be a nothing Christian. You can live a nothing Christian life. It's possible, because you just won't bear no fruit. You'll be a nothing. You'll go to heaven, but you'll be without him. You can do nothing. It's the word that he spoke to you that's making you clean. That's going to bear much fruit. Outside of him, you can do nothing. So it's the fruit. I don't want to be a nothing Christian. I want to bear much fruit. I want to have much joy. I want to have much peace. I want to have much comfort. I want to have much love. I want much in my life. I don't know if anybody's getting this, but I'm getting it. And he's saying to us, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to us, look at this from a different angle here. Maybe you've never heard it put this way, but this is word. This is the word of God. See, the trial of our faith, he calls it precious. He says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and joy at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, here's the gold. You heat it up. What comes out of the gold when you heat it up? All the junk, all the dross, all the yuck stuff, all the bad. You know, everything that's crappy in your life needs to come out. There's some crap in us that needs to get out. God knows how to prune us. God knows how to change us. But I don't believe God is up there on a puppet string. I believe the devil knows your weakness. I believe he sees it. He knows exactly how to target your weak areas. See, he sees your walk toward Jesus. He sees you every day pressing into this way. It's a pressing way. He sees you pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. He knows you've got a high priest. He knows you've got a sanctuary to run to. But if he can distract you and get you off your course, and get you into fear, get you into unbelief, amen, you'll not bear much fruit. That's right. Now, this is Peter. Peter wrote this. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Receiving the end of your faith. See, it's your faith. It's not the hope so, maybe so, that's going to get you to the end. It's the no so. When you're established in the Word of God and you know God is true, he is the true vine. He is the way. There is no other truth but Jesus. Now, I want to take you to 2 Peter, because I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, wrap this up. 2 Peter, it's chapter 1. Let's look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That needs to be something you meditate on. I've meditated on this and meditated on this for years. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. It's the word of God, the knowledge of the word. Not just knowing the word or quoted, but the knowledge of the word of God. Having knowledge of what he's saying, having knowledge of what he's doing. It's the word that he'll speak to you that makes you clean. And that grace and peace is not addition, it's multiplication. It's multiplied. Grace and peace. I tell you what, when you're going through a trial and you're going through a situation, you look at your bank account, there ain't nothing in there. That's a trial. That can be a real fiery trial, especially if you've got creditors screaming at you. Well, the grace and peace needs to be multiplied to you in that moment. The grace and peace better be multiplied, but how is it multiplied? Through the knowledge, bearing much fruit. According as his divine power. Now, this is according. You got to hear this. According as his divine power. Remember, he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you and abound, this is the in you part. This is abiding in the vine. If these things be in you and abound, they make you. You don't have to make you. These things make you. These things that are in you are making you, that's abounding in you. They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, without the knowledge, without him, you can do nothing. It's the knowledge that makes you fruitful. It's the abounding knowledge that makes you much fruitful. Without him, you can do nothing. But if you abide in him and I abide in him, you will bear much fruit. It's exciting, isn't it? I'm going to bear much fruit because I got the knowledge. It's been given unto me to know him. That grace and peace is going to multiply to me. I am going to bear much fruit. I'm going to bear much fruit in joy. It's just like when I fell out here that day, pain shot through my leg. You know what I did? There's so much fruit started abounding. Leg, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. You hear me, leg, you are healed, you're healed, you're healed. I know that sounds wild, but I knew it in my heart. I had a knowledge in my heart and in my mind. The word of God is bigger than anything. But it's the word that you believe is what will produce fruit. And it's the place we've got to get to in these last days. It's the place God's church has got to get to. Because we're a supernatural people. We're a supernatural being. We're a high priest, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We have been called out of darkness to shine forth light in a dark world. We are not trying to serve God. I'm not trying to do anything. I am serving God. I am living and abiding in the vine. He is in me. I am in him. And I am bearing much fruit. You know how I know I'm bearing much fruit? I don't care what the circumstances are. It has nothing to do with my fruit. My fruit is not attached to my stuff. My fruit's not attached to my circumstances. My fruit isn't attached to who you like me or don't like me. My fruit is not attached to who doesn't want to be around me. My fruit doesn't matter to them out there. But the fruit matters to him. Do you see the difference? We're not in this world. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. I am more of him than I'm of this world. The greater one, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We can quote that so freely. But until you get a revelation of the greater one, the fruit, the fruitfulness. For if these things, verse 8 says, for if these things be in you, this is abiding things, and abound, they make you. These things are going to make you. That's why Jesus said it so plainly. You abide in me and I in you. You will bear much fruit. Well, maybe if I try really hard, if I pray really hard. No, it's the word that's abounding in you. It's the word that's abiding in you that's going to make you bear much fruit. That word is going to make you bear much fruit. The word is a seed. The word is a seed. A seed. Haven't you been hearing this week a lot about seeds? I don't know if you've been hearing about seeds all week. I've been hearing the Spirit say seeds, seeds, seeds. Seeds, seeds, seeds. People eat their seed. Did you know people eat their seeds?
Yeah, that's right.
And they ain't going to have no fruit. You want to harvest, you cannot eat your seed. If you want to harvest for later on, I love Mike Murdoch because I got to listen to him some this week about eating your seed. And some things take longer to grow than others. And your tithe is not your seed. The tithe is just, you're obligated to the tithe. That's God. That ain't even yours. It's the seed that you plant beyond the tithe is the harvest comes. And it isn't just money. It's your time. It's your love. It's your compassion. You see, it's a cycle. You ever know our world is based on an eco-cycle? It rains. The ground produces. We eat the fruit. The byproducts go back into the earth, fertilizes the earth. More stuff can be sown. Goes back up in the atmosphere. It's a cycle. You see, your fruit is doing more than you ever dreamed it's doing in God's cycle of life, in the kingdom of God. Because you've got to get out of you. You've got to get out of yourself and get into the things of the kingdom. It's the kingdom of God in you. Jesus said the kingdom is in you. The kingdom of heaven is in you. But let me wrap this up, because this is so powerful if you can see it. Pray God, just ask God, give me the spirit of wisdom, God. Spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of you. Let my eyes of understanding be enlightened. I pray this almost every day. God, let me please see. Let me have eyes of understanding. Not the way I could go to school and have understanding, but I'm talking spiritual understanding. See, the heaven's a big place. Heaven is not. When I went to Peru, you talk about feeling like you were in a different world. It really was. But it's nothing like heaven. Heaven, if you were in heaven, if you could be zapped into heaven right now, being beamed up into heaven, it would be a whole different world. Things operate different there, but God's word is the source of all power and all life there. And when it becomes the source of all life and power in you, you're going to bear much fruit. You see that? That truly is what he's trying to say here to us. Because when he says, given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we could be partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The lust is the problem. Because the only way the enemy at those windows can get to you is through your lusts. Your jealousies, your envies, your insecurities, all the things of your lust, of your flesh. He knows your weaknesses in your flesh. But we've escaped the corruptions that are in the world through lust, and we've got the word of God. That's how you can ignore all those voices and just keep right on, bearing much fruit. More fruit, more fruit, more fruit, more fruit. More word, more fruit, because it's a seed. This is an awesome word this morning. Revelation word coming at you. I don't think everybody can hear this word. I don't think everybody has an ear to hear this revelation word, but it's still his word. I love that verse, whereby are given us this exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, the exceeding great and precious promises, these are the things that give us the access to the kingdom and help us put our flesh in its place. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There's a two-edged sword. There's two sides to that sword. It pierces the discerner between soul and spirit, is the discerner of the thoughts of your heart. That's why the word is so important to get in you every single day. Meditate every day on the word, every day. 19, verse 1 to 65. And it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It doesn't matter, come hell or high water. It doesn't matter. I'm not offended. Because the greater one is in me. I'm abiding in the greater one. The greater one's abiding in me. And I'm going to bear much fruit. Because Jesus said, you will bear. It makes you bear much fruit. Isn't that good? Because if you really believe that, nothing shall offend you. Because you love that word. You love him. You love that law. Great peace have they which love the law. I mean, nothing's going to move you. That's why he says the trial of your faith, being more precious than gold, though it be tried by fire. It's the precious. It's precious to God. He sees your grace. He sees that mercy. He sees that love for him. Pushes you right on through that. Let's look at verse. I want to go back to verse 5. I'm wrapping this up. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. You know, you really need to meditate on this. This is something I've spent a lot of time meditating over the years. And I think all of us have spent time here. But it's something we have to look at and keep looking at. Don't let the depart from your eyes, but meditate therein day and night. Remember? Joshua 1:8. Then you'll make your way prosper. Then you'll find good success. Giving all diligence means you take some time out to do this. This is not optional. Doing this is not optional. It's a diligence thing. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. See, we just think we just got to have the word, and that's faith, just faith, faith, faith. Now, you better have some virtue. You better have some brotherly kindness. The Word will do all this in you. It makes you. That you never be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge. And it goes on and talks about knowledge, temperance. Temperance, patience. Patience, godliness. Godliness, you know the patience thing? You need a patience after you've done the will of God. You can receive the promise. Patience is a powerful part of this picture of who we are. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. You know, some people have a hard time even being kind to each other. Just being nice. You know, I was sitting there at a parking lot talking on the phone to Darlene. And you didn't know this, but I'm sitting there in front of Advance Auto. I had a taillight out. And this girl come pulling up here beside me. And this girl was coming out. And I heard her scream, "Put your blankety blank light on, lady." And didn't call her a lady. She called her something else. And I'm thinking, I'm not very kind. I bet she wasn't a Christian for sure. And maybe she was a Christian, you know. But the thing is, brotherly kindness. Just be kind to people. So what? So what? They did something wrong. See, that makes you, that you never be barren nor unfruitful. See, that kindness will be fruitful in your life. It'll be easy to be kind. No matter what they do to you, it'll be easy to be kind. It'll be easy to take the wrong. It'll be easy because that you're bearing much fruit. This is the fruit we bear. Because we're abiding in the vine. If these things be in you, this is the in you part, verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound. See, that's the key. I know it's the key in my life. These things have got to be in me and they've got to abound. Growth. Growth abound means growth. You got abundance of something, it means you're growing it, right? If these things, the faith, the virtue, the knowledge, the kindness, the temperance, the patience, the long-suffering, the godliness, the brotherly kindness, the love. If these things are in you and abound, they're going to make you bear fruit. They're going to make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful. Do y'all see this? That's so good. I'm just presenting the word. Not condemning anybody. I'm not condemning myself because I'm coming short. But I needed to hear this. I need to hear this. The Holy Ghost knows what we need to feed on every Sunday. Why this morning he gave me this? Because we need it. I need it. I got to bear much fruit. We're running. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. How do you do that? Simple. You just give diligence. You get up and you pray every morning. You start your day out with prayer. You start your day out with the Word. You put Him first. You make Him your God. Father, you said you wanted a people. Here I am. I'm your people. You're my God. You write your Word. This is the covenant. I'm going to write my Word in your heart and in your mind. I'll be to you a God and you can be to me a people. He's my Savior. He's my sanctuary high priest of the true tabernacle. If sanctuary in heaven, I can go boldly to Him. He's my Savior. He saved me. He's my friend. I'm in Him. He's in me. So if I know that I have access to this powerful throne of God and I have this awesome, powerful Word and it's written in, He's writing it in me and He's doing a work in me, believe me, He began the good work. He's going to perform it. I don't have to do it. In fact, sometimes we want to be so religious, we feel like we've got to help Him out. Really, we just have to be, we have to be diligent to do what this verse says. Rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Be diligent. You are the one who has to pray. You're the one who has to read the Word. You're the one who has to seek God and fast and seek Him. That's our part. His part is to write His Word in our heart. Then the next part is this. This is the good news. Verse 11. If you'll just do that, anybody can do that. Any single person can do that. Anybody can turn off their cell phone. Anybody can lock their doors. Anybody can set aside an hour for God. Anybody can do this. It's not that hard to do. If you can give your friend an hour, or you can give somebody else an hour on the phone, you can give God an hour on the telephone to heaven. This is what he said. If you'll do this, he says, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. An entrance will be ministered unto you abundantly into this everlasting kingdom. Where do you reckon his sanctuary is? It's in heaven, in the kingdom. It's going to be ministered to you abundantly for an entrance. See, I need to get in there. I need to get all that in that I can get in. I need to get all into him I can get into him and all the him that he can get into me. And then he said, I'll minister an entrance into this everlasting kingdom, and minister abundantly. Thank you, Father. One time I was preaching this word, and I had an open vision. I was ministering to the people. I'll never forget it. I saw a doorway in heaven. The whole church disappeared in this ministry. I think I shared this before. Yeah. And I'm preaching this message, and all these people just whoosh, was in a big cloud. I couldn't see anybody. It was just nothing but a big white cloud. And I had an open vision, and I saw an entrance being ministered, and I saw a doorway. There's an entrance into this kingdom. Jesus is the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. He is the door. And if you think you're going to get in by anything else, you can't. But he said, if you'll do these things, an entrance will be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, for if you know them and be established in the present truth. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the more you read the word, the more powerful it becomes in your life, isn't it? And the more fruit you're going to bear. And it's not just about your prayer life will be so explosive for people. My prayer life has been exploding for people. People call me, want me to pray for them all the time, and I'm telling you, it explodes. It's almost like everything you ask God to do, he does it. Well, is it because you're so pretty or you're so special? No. It's because you're bearing much fruit. Amen. The word is abiding in you. And you're abiding in him. And you can do nothing without him. He said, without me, you can do nothing. That's where we bear much fruit. Now, this is what I hear in my spirit. This is the bottom line. This is what I hear from me. This is what I hear from my church. Is that every one of us have a choice. Everybody has a choice in their everyday life to bear much fruit. And he's given you the way to do it. He's given me the way to do this. In my busy schedule, I was thinking the other day as I was praying, Lord, how in the world, this is what I was thinking. How in the world, God? How in the world, Father, did I do this? I was talking to him. How did I take 3 children? How did I work a full-time job for 20 years? Working for other men in dentistry. Have to punch somebody else's time clock, get a paycheck. How did I do for 20 years? Married to crazy people who never cooked, who never cleaned, who never helped me with a diaper, who never fed a baby, who never helped me with anything. How did I, God, how was it that Teresa, just a human being, how did I go to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and drag 3 little children with me and work a full-time job, cook every meal that was needed to be cooked for the family, washed everything that needed to be washed? How, God, did I possibly do that? Because you were hungry, he told me, diligent. How did I do that? Something was pushing me to do that, driving me to do that. See, I did some diligence in my life. For if these things be in you and abound, now I'm bearing some fruit. They make you. They've made me this way. It's just a part of who I am. How did I do it, God? I don't even know how I did it. I can't even tell you how I did it. I think it was just, he told me I was just hungry. When you're hungry, it motivates you. You're motivated. I was hungry and I feared God. I have a fear of God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And God has given me some wisdom. Thank you, Jesus. But more's coming because I can't stop being hungry. I got to keep staying hungry. And I got to stay keeping on, keeping on, keeping on. And you know, his grace did it. I couldn't do it. He did it. It was his grace. Grace and peace is multiplied through the knowledge. It's a cycle. This church is going to do some awesome things. We're going to bear much fruit. We're on assignment to bear much fruit. We might be small, but powerful. We're fruit bearers. I'm a fruit bearer. I'm excited about that, actually. Aren't you excited? Thank you, Father. I just sealed this word this morning. And thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name, amen.